What is going on, Clippers fans? Welcome to episode, 119 of Clips and Dip. Just two of us today. I am Chuck Mockler. Adam Oslin is here with me. Will Updike, unfortunately, dealing with some internet outages, which, given the weather in LA, you know, we've all been there with all that good stuff. Like I said, we're part of the 2-3 Hoops Empire. You can find us on YouTube. If you subscribe to us at Clippers Podcast, that really helps us out. We're trying to get these things up. Like I said, Will's not here today, so it's just Adam and I doing the technical stuff. So Lord knows how this is going to work out. That being said, Adam Oslin, pre- and post-game voice of the Clippers over on AM570. How are you doing on this gloomy March Monday in Los Angeles?
I'm good. I got my workout in earlier to try to fight the SADS, the seasonal affected disease, or whatever it's called. And that helped for a while. Now I have to work out again later tonight before I get sad again. No, I'm not doing 2-a-days or anything like that, but it is good to be here. This is what cures my crippling depression. Just
there
to
we
do
go.
Some Clips and Dip pod.
And the peck, we're on peck watch right now for Adam. Your peck is all good. Everything's good to go with that. Are you back at 100%?
No longer on win watch with the Clippers. We're on peck watch with me. And I ran a little test. I just put on 135 on the bench just to try it out,
right,
which is normally like a warm-up. But I did it very slowly. The Kevin Durant max. I was doing it very slowly.
Okay.
And I didn't feel any serious pain. So I'm thinking 2 more weeks like this on my rehab assignment, and then I'll be back. Maybe around the same time Norman Powell is from his shoulder injury.
Maybe. As long as your trainer isn't Jason Powell, I think you'll be good to go.
I didn't hear that. I don't know what's happening. The weather just – my Wi-Fi's out all of a sudden.
We're going to talk our reaction to the weekend. The Clippers go 1-1. Will wanted the 6-game win streak pod today, but unfortunately, we're not going to get that. We're also going to talk the Clippers versus Thunder preview. They're playing each other 2 times over the next couple days. And then we ran a poll over on Twitter at Clippers Pod. You can follow us about playoff seeding and how, you know, should the Clippers go against the Suns or should they choose to maybe drop and go against the Grizzlies? And then we got to give a shout out to one of the sauciest Clippers to ever play, Jamal Crawford. It's his birthday today. So we're going to talk some of our favorite Jamal Crawford memories. But first, Adam, you were on the front lines, as usual, dealing with Clippers fans this weekend. The Clippers go 1-1. Horrific loss against the Magic. Pretty okay-ish to good win against the Blazers. How do we feel about this weekend as a whole? What were the positives you saw? Also, for those who missed it, Ty Lue did not coach the game against the Blazers. He was out with an illness. We hope he's doing okay. Dan Craig came in, did great. Didn't change very much. If you were wanting the rotations to change a lot with Dan Craig, that's not how any job works. When the boss isn't there, the number two just doesn't say, hey, what if we did everything completely different? So yeah. I will. We should actually start with that. How do we feel about Dan Craig? I thought he did a great job.
I love DC. I've missed a lot of the Bond movies recently, but I love Dan Craig as a coach. And I know that joke has gotten very old. But come on, Daniel Craig. I thought he did a great job. I love what he said post-game about how it feels good to get his first win ever as a head coach. And he's going to be a head coach for a team sooner than later. I think
this team. I don't know. Some people. Who knows?
Who knows what's going on? I didn't hear that either. But the point is he's done a very good job overall since he came in with the Clippers. And that's one of the big advantages you have with Steve Ballmer. The front office and the coaches, they are not under the salary cap. So you can pay them whatever, and they've been able to retain a lot of these guys who would have gotten bigger jobs somewhere else. But I think they're of the same mindset that they want to see this through with the 2-1-3 era and have a possibility to win that first chip in franchise history.
Yeah, it was good to see Dan Craig out there. He's so funny in front of the media. I think when you see someone who coaches who isn't a usual head coach, you see how media training really plays a part. Because Dan Craig is a fantastic coach. He's a very well-spoken guy. But it's different when you're up there at that podium, right? Like doing the pre- and post-game presser.
I thought he was very articulate. He's just very matter-of-fact, though, too. Coach Lue will go back and forth sometimes with reporters. He'll call out Tomer. And, you know, there's a relationship and rapport there. Dan Craig hasn't built that up with all the usuals yet. But
I hope he comes out firing. I hope he just has zingers next time he's got a coach.
After Farbod for his Halloween costumes and all that stuff.
Exactly. So how did we feel? We split the weekend. You and I talked after the game against the Magic, which is obviously a bit of a different vibe than the Blazers game. But are we still kind of feeling that a corner's been turned? I mean, Kawhi and PG played great against, you know, the Blazers. Kawhi continues to do his thing. Like, where are we at?
I was, and you were too, when you came on post game after a loss, because I guess Will's doing games after wins now. You're only coming on with me after losses. Will said, and I quote, Charles Mockler is an expert on losses and taking L's. So that's how we came up with this arrangement, apparently. I don't know. No, we'll switch things up still. But that Magic loss to me was tough. That was a difficult and frustrating one because they had an 8-point lead heading into the fourth quarter, and they gave up a 39 spot and had, you can argue, their worst fourth quarter of the season. I thought it was one of their worst losses of the season. Both losses to the Orlando Magic have been. And I took calls post game, and there was a caller who I love. His name is Morris from Long Beach.
Oh, I know. Bro, I know all about Morris from Long Beach.
He's got great pipes. He'll sing songs and do parodies post game. He is a diehard and an optimistic Clippers fan.
He has fun.
And his point was, he's actually done a remix of Back That Ass Up, but with the Clippers. Clippers looking good. We can back that thing up.
Oh, God.
We're looking real fine out there. We can back that thing
up. You know he has friends who he tests these out on, and they're like, dude, just, it's fine. I don't know. It's fine.
Like, go with it. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So I love him. But sometimes I have to dip the show in reality a little bit when there is a bad show, as I'm positive most of the time. So we're talking about
From
10 games left now. Yeah. There's 10 games left. There was 11 after that one. And they had an opportunity to sweep the homestand. And with how close things are in the standings, so we're going to talk more about that coming up, it was a bad loss. I don't think there's any other way to explain away or excuse away or rationalize that one. And I don't care that they didn't have Kawhi Leonard in that game.
Agreed.
We all thought when the report came out that on this show and on our last YouTube one too, you can watch it, and we had a live reaction.
Real time, yeah.
We all thought, oh, I said it multiple times, I like the strategy. You play Kawhi against the better team, against the Western Conference opponent in the Portland Trail Blazers, because you still have a great chance to beat the Orlando Magic, and there are no excuses if you don't, given who's out there. And after defensively giving up just 17 points in the third quarter, they give up 39 when they had a chance to close that one out.
Yep.
And the caller in Morris said, well, you know, these guys are professionals and the Clippers are missing Kawhi Leonard. And I kind of said, well, okay, so they have professionals and they have one of the deepest teams in the league that you would hope would be able to overcome the loss of Kawhi Leonard too. If you want to say Orlando has professionals, well, the Clippers also have professionals that are ready to go, the Stay Ready Clippers. And we've talked about how deep they are coming into this season. So that argument kind of cuts both ways. And he said, well, Kawhi wasn't in there. And what's funny is he called in last night after they won with Kawhi and ended up holding the Portland Trail Blazers to just 19 points in that fourth quarter. So 20 points less than they did against the Orlando Magic. And he was using that as his argument of why Kawhi is the biggest difference maker. And I'm not arguing that.
Yeah.
Because Kawhi is the most important player on this Clippers team.
He's the best player on the team.
They still had enough to beat the Orlando Magic and were in control and let that one get away from them. And if memory serves correctly, Kawhi Leonard wasn't out there when they held Orlando to just 17 points in that third quarter. So they were able to play good enough defense then. Why didn't it show up in the fourth quarter as well? So that's where the frustration, I think, stems from. And you just wanted to see them carry on that winning streak a little bit longer. But I don't know. How did you feel about it, Chuck?
I think it was a microcosm, and I think you hit the nail on the head pretty well, of this team right now, despite having a fantastic number two, whatever you want to call it, in Paul George. When Kawhi's out there, a lot of it, the offense seems to be sometimes, all right, Kawhi, like, go continue to be a top three, two-way player in the league, which he's great at doing. But when he's out, it feels like everything's a little listless and there's just not, you know, I don't want to take down Kawhi's, you know, contributions as like a go get a bucket guy. But sometimes on offense without Kawhi, this team is kind of looking around like, where is this guy who can go get us a bucket? And I felt that showed against the Magic team a little bit. But I mean, we split the weekend. It would have been nice to have the 6-game winning streak, but
there's a bigger conversation though there, something upon which you just touched upon, because La Murray came out with that article which centered around the fact that the Clippers have not been playing very good basketball at all since when Kawhi Leonard has been out this season, as opposed to the last couple of years. Obviously didn't play at all last season. And the first 2 years with Coach Lou, when Kawhi was out, and this includes the playoffs, this includes the play-in, they were only 5 games under 500, which is pretty damn good. But this season, over their last 17 games without Kawhi, they've only won 3 of them. And the last game they won without Kawhi Leonard was on December 26th. That's a little bit alarming, because it's something I also have been talking about more indirectly, like, wow, Kawhi has been on this crazy run. And at one point, the Clippers were still just 12-9 since he went on this run in January. That's wild to see. They should be more dominant when you have a guy out there playing elite, God-tier level basketball, which is exactly what he's been doing since he got back to regular minutes on January 8th. Since he's been playing 37 minutes a night and was almost at 40 last night, he has been having one of the greatest runs, not just by him in his career, and this may be the best regular season run by Kawhi in his career.
I'm sure some Raptors fans might have something to say for that, but I think it's fair for Clippers fans.
In the regular season, I don't remember a cut of 30 games where he's shooting 50% from three. Yeah. I don't remember him ever doing that. It may have happened with San Antonio that season. He shot, I want to say, 45% around there from the outside. This is special what they're getting out of Kawhi. Not many players have ever touched this level during the regular season for a sustained period of time. And we're talking almost 3 months now of Kawhi playing at this high of a level. And you're 28-15 on the season with Kawhi Leonard out there. Now that includes some of the earlier games this year and when he was just starting to ramp up.
But still, ramping up Kawhi is still a very elite basketball player on both ends.
That's a 65 or a 650 win percentage, 28-15. To me, with how good he's been since the turn of the year, since 2023, most of those games they should be winning. Like, they should win 90% of the time when Kawhi is that good out there.
Yeah.
But it's been their defense that has hurt them a lot. Their offense has been good. I think they still have the second best offense or something like that post All-Star break. But defensively, they're 17th since November 1st. Yeah. 17th since November 1st. So you take out the first 7 games of the season, and they just haven't been good enough on that end. Now, there's some positives recently. I thought last night holding the Trailblazers to 102, and you can say what you want about their record, they're 8th defensively on the season. They're good. I mean, that's not where they struggle.
Modern NBA, if you're holding the team below 110, that's the new below 100, right? That's the new kind of like that Pistons dynasty, or not dynasty, but that Pistons team where they were holding guys below 80 in games. In 2023, 100 is the new 80, basically, with holding guys.
And the game against the Knicks, they only score 95. The Raptors only score 100. And even with Golden State going for 126 and shooting 55% from the field, I felt like the defense showed up, but so did Steph Curry. There's nothing you can do against some of those shots. So overall, recently, you look at 4 of their last 5 games, outside of the Magic game, where they gave up that 39 spot in the fourth quarter, they've been pretty good defensively. It's there. They have the guys. They can do this. And Ivica Zubac, we've talked about him a lot. He's looked so much different since he came back and has been back to playing around 30 minutes a night coming off that calf injury. He's looked more like this big Zoo we saw early in the year, which is a huge development. They have to have him playing at that level. If you're looking for some positives, him, Kawhi, Paul George look as athletic as they have all season long. Of course, Kawhi coming off the ACL is kind of a different situation, but big Zoo and Paul George look as fresh as ever, right?
Yes, they absolutely do. I mean, Zoo looking fresh is so important for this team. PG has spoken about a little bit with just feeling healthier. And, you know, he was obviously going through some knocks and stuff like that, but he also mentally, he looks in a way better place. He got his good friend on the team. It felt like maybe like immediately before that, there was a game where it was like, why is he like actively pouting on the court? What is happening? But he looks a lot happier with basketball right now in general too. So I think you're right. Those three guys are the most important for the Clippers right now.
The point is though, and when we're talking about this subject with Kawhi Leonard and what he means to the team, of course they're not going to win the championship without him. But they also can't fall apart at the seams when he's off the court,
right?
Whether for 15 minutes a night or whether for an entire game because it's a back-to-back. They have to keep those same principles and that same identity even without Kawhi. It doesn't mean you're going to be as good, but this was a team that was known for stepping up and having stay-ready Clippers and guys winning ball games no matter who was out there.
Right.
And that hasn't happened much as of late.
Yeah, there hasn't been that galvanizing, you know, other guy performance. I don't mean other guy in a derogatory way, but, you know, people listening know what we're talking about. Like, we haven't seen that, oh, wow, you know, the first thing that came to my head was Robert Covington stepped up, but we know he's not going to be given the opportunity to. But, like, we haven't seen that, like, oh, Batum came through with, like, 16-6 or something like that. Like, we would get more of those performances last year for sure. I think part of it is guys might just be tired. I know we shipped off, you know, Reggie, who was the biggest go make sure the season is a complete failure for us last year, playing a bunch of minutes and doing what innings he can. Eater. Yeah, an innings eater. But now we basically have a whole new team for like a lot of the big reserves, you know. And I feel like I've talked about him the last couple of episodes, but I cannot get enough of how good Eric Gordon's been for this team. He's come the closest to like just being that guy who's going to be not one of the main guys who's like, oh, damn, okay. So even if Eric Gordon's out there, hey, we still got a chance, like even without Kawhi and stuff like that. So I think he's starting to build that, and I'm hoping some other guys can get on the same train.
Maybe part of the problem is they've just had so many different moving parts and rotations and lineups that it's hard to ask for consistency, especially coming out of the trade deadline and the All-Star break.
For sure.
And those guys knowing what their roles are without Kawhi Leonard, because they've only had, I think, two games so far out of the last 11 post-All-Star break without him. So there is an adjustment period. Granted, they don't have time for that. There's 10 games left.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for reasons that this could be happening. But it's a bigger thing than just, you know, recent history with the Clippers. We're going back to December 26th, the last time they won a ball game without Kawhi Leonard. So it's kind of been a running thread and a storyline throughout most of this season. Some of that magic from years past just doesn't seem to be there as much. Now, the pieces are still there. They still have enough talent to overcome some of the deficiencies we've seen all season. Like, they've turned a corner, I think, in terms of not turning the basketball over nearly as much.
Well, a bit of a rough patch there for a while, but
well, I think in three of their last four games now, they had 10 or less.
Yeah.
The game against the Magic, they had 15, but I think the two games before that, they combined for just 15 total. They're coming out of the All-Star break, though, you're right. It was 17 a game during that losing streak. But I'm saying the defensive personnel to be a good defense is certainly out there. Mm-hmm. They can turn around. Unlike some teams that just don't have the guys, they don't have the players to do it. The Clippers do. They just got to build up consistency and find themselves during this last stretch of games.
Yeah, I tweeted out. I was like, you know, because Norm's going to be out for who really knows, like at least seemingly this Thunder miniseries. And I just kind of tweeted out from the Clippers pod account, like, ooh, like this is, you know, this is rough. And someone was like, don't worry about it. When he comes back, you know, there'll be time to figure out some new lineups and things like that. And I'm like, dude, there's maybe, right? Like, there's going to be eight games by the at most, there's going to be eight games left of a full roster for the Clippers, right?
Yeah,
we got 10 left. He's not playing against the Thunder. There's not a lot of time.
And it's not like down the stretch of the season, regardless of who you're playing, you're getting many games against teams that are packing it in, because with the play-in tournament, the NBA has gotten what they wanted out of that, more competitive basketball at the end of seasons. And they aren't playing the Houston Rockets anymore, who, by the way, can come up and bite you. Apparently, they beat the Boston Celtics. They beat the Lakers recently. They can nip at your heels a little bit. They have talent. But a lot of teams are in the same position as the Clippers, which is we don't know our position heading into the playoffs, so we just have to win ball games and play with a sense of desperation. It's the play-in before the play-in before the playoffs happening right now. It's wild, and you don't have time to figure things out much anymore or test things out or experiment too much. You just have to hope that it works that night. There's got to be a sense of urgency quarter to quarter, possession to possession, not just game to game anymore.
Quarter to quarter, possession to possession is a fantastic way to put it. We're talking about the Thunder, who are only 2.5 games out of where the Clippers stand in the standings. We're playing the Thunder tomorrow night. We're going to preview that game right after this ad break. If you've been experiencing like loud ads or anything like that, go ahead and turn it down. We got ads coming up and then a preview of the Clippers versus Thunder game. Ads coming up in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back in Clips and Dip, episode 119. I'm Adam Oslin. We got Chuck Mockler with us. No Will Updike in tonight's pod, unfortunately. No tripod. We will have him back, though, soon if the Clippers win the next game. I mean, tomorrow against OKC, Will's on post game.
Maybe.
Coming up later in this show, Chuck may veto that. Coming up later, we'll talk about if the Clippers are going to end up taking on the Phoenix Suns and exploring that 4-5 possibility and how likely it is and just the rest of the Western Conference standings here. But let's talk about the OKC Thunder, who beat them twice in a back-to-back series. It wasn't back-to-back nights, though, correct? They also had, yeah, it was the October 25th correct. And October yeah. 27th. But it was in OKC, and a lot of people pointed to that. This is the level of desperation Clipper Nation had already coming out of the gates in the season. They had only lost one game. They started off 2-0. They beat the Lakers, their opening night, or the Clippers. Then they beat the Sacramento Kings, where Paul George had 40. They lost in Phoenix. And then after losing both those games to OKC, panic was already starting to set in. Like, this
we love
could hurt
it.
Us in the standings later in the season.
And it might.
It might be right, yeah. Because now chickens are coming home to roost. Like, now they have two games against OKC where they have to win both just to have the tiebreaker or
right.
just to be in a tie for the tiebreaker, and it come down to then it would be conference play. So how does that – I'm trying to look at the standings here and seeing who would have the early advantage in conference play, because it
they
reversed
would. They would division. Have an early advantage because we're 19 – or sorry, we're 22 and 21 in the conference. They're 21 and 23. So if they beat us these two times, I mean, I guess – no, we have to win. We have to win both of these games.
They have to win at least one and likely both if they're going to have the conference tiebreaker.
Right.
It's going to be close, but they're playing very good basketball. They've had the fifth best offense since January. Since January 1st, they've had the fifth best offense, and they play together. They yeah. play well. It's a really fun young team to watch because they look wise beyond their years. They rally around SGA, who just had another 40-point game the other night.
Of course he did.
But they move the basketball and get everybody involved. And I never would have thought at this point, I thought he could trend in this direction where maybe in a couple years from now, he'd be at the spot he is right now. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander yeah. being an all-star, averaging 30 a game. I never thought it would have came this soon. I don't think anyone no. could have foreseen this.
Even the most optimistic, like, this is an absurd ascension by Shai. And we love to see it as Clippers fans. It's a little bittersweet. But obviously, I think if the Clippers organization maybe thought this would have happened, who knows what happens with the trade. But now he's our enemy, and this is a very important two-game stretch. No Norm Powell, as we talked about before. One thing I'm looking for in this game, we need to grab every available rebound because the Thunder allow teams to grab right around 47.5 boards against them per game, which is, I think, the worst or second worst in the league, looking at the stats right now. Yeah, it's the worst in the league. They give up the second most offensive rebounds, the second most defensive rebounds, which equates to the worst opponent rebounding situation for the Thunder. So I'm looking for Westbrook to keep doing his thing on the offensive glass. Those are going to be available for the Clippers. Zoo, we know he's going to put in the work. Really excited to see how Plumlee can kind of make a difference. Kind of
he's had a rough little stretch here. Under the radar, rough stretch. Maybe it's because I picked him as my surprise performer last time out, Big Plum. I may do it again if I have to.
But what else do you think we need to do well? Other than, you know, Kawhi continuing to destroy worlds, I'm hoping we can see a faster start from PG. He was on pace, and I talked about this a little bit. He was on pace for a really bad game against the Magic. And he kind of brought it back. And I hope he can just get started a little earlier.
Same with yesterday's game against Portland.
Yeah.
The last two games, he's found himself in the second half. He had six turnovers. All of his turnovers against the Magic came in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then he started 1-for-9 yesterday against Portland. I would say, though, these are encouraging signs that in both those games he continued to shoot, especially yesterday. With Kawhi Leonard out there, once again, Paul George took more shot attempts. He was just 8 of 22, but he hit 7 of his last 13 after starting 1-for-9. Hit that big three-pointer late, and that was the only shot that he made in the second half that wasn't inside the paint. So he was getting to the basket. He had an insane move. I posted it and just said, dirty, as I screen capped it. Captured it and put it up at follow Adam A as he slithered to the basket and just went right around. I forget who was on him. I don't know if it was Thibault, but he shook him. He just put him on skates going backwards. Paul George looks explosive. And the fact that it's happened multiple times recently where he's had bad first halves that he does not let turn into a bad game. And he said post game, this was kind of interesting. He called himself out or was having some fun with it saying, you know, sometimes I have a plan and then it goes to shit and of how I'm going to play and I have to figure out something else. And when he got into foul trouble early with those two fouls, which I think took him out of a rhythm right away against Portland, he said part of his process is being on the sidelines and thinking the game and doing visualization techniques, basically, of how it could play out the second half. And he says, and that's what has helped him in his career. It usually works for him to have a turnaround if he can just get that bird's eye perspective or courtside perspective, and therefore he can switch it up.
Yeah, I think you're right, because the attempts in the paint is what people, especially kind of the Clippers beat on Twitter, has posted about too. Like, oh, PG's attempted 12 shots. One of them has been in the restricted area or the paint. So those paint touches going up are going to be good, and it's going to be good for the playoffs. Because theoretically, a player of Paul George's caliber and status, as we all know how refereeing goes, should get a few more whistles in the playoffs when it comes to playing in the paint. Will that happen? Probably not. We'll see. Who knows?
He did take 12 free throws against Portland. So, yeah, his aggressiveness and that adjustment he made worked out for him. But you mentioned Kawhi and just how good he's been. I don't think we can stress this enough. It's not normal to have a guy shooting 50, 50, 90 for 3 months.
Right.
What would their record be if he was just at 50, 40, 85 or 45, 38, 80? Like, you can't expect Kawhi. I said this last night. I said, this is kind of an uncomfortable truth, Clipper Nation, but it's not going to last. He's not going to shoot 50% from three the rest of the year. In the playoffs, as good as he is, if you're shooting 40% consistently from the outside with the way teams game plan for you in a seven-game series, that's great. Because that last playoff run, I think he was at 57% from the field because he shot, 65% against the Dallas Mavericks in those seven games. But he was still, I want to say, around 38% from three.
Right.
So it's not going to continue. This stuff isn't repeatable forever. Take advantage of it while it's happening. And I just feel like the Clippers haven't as much as they should have. That's what's concerning to me. Now, Paul George has come around. He's been very good the last 23 games now. Mm-hmm. He's been getting an efficient 25 points out there. And I like the growth of him taking more attempts than Kawhi Leonard. And like you said earlier, him playing next to Russell Westbrook, say what you want about Paul George. And I know a lot of people have been like, well, he has to get his way. And it's the players who wanted Russ and Coach Lou.
We're here.
Maybe
now.
Not everybody was on board.
We're
with
here.
It. Like, yeah, they we do play well together. Paul George and Russell Westbrook do play well together. And if Paul George doesn't want to handle the ball a lot, I don't know why anyone would be that opposed to it, considering he has a lot of turnovers in bad right. moments. I don't know if you want him handling the ball a lot. It's not his game. It's not his best strength out there. His best strength is his scoring, is his efficiency, and he can do that better when someone else is deferring to him and getting him to his spots. And if he just feels good, like you mentioned earlier, if the vibes are right.
Right.
I don't want to mess with that. I want the best version of Paul George, and that was the guy playing next to Russ in OKC.
And hopefully it happens again against OKC. I'm interested to see who they stick on PG when he's the ball handler. I could see Dort picking him up immediately if PG is handling the ball past the half-court line. Like, we're probably going to see that happen.
Dort!
He's very good. What do we think could go wrong in this one? We talked about the good. I do want to point out that Jalen Williams, I believe, is leading the league in charges drawn, and Kenrick Williams is also on the top five for charges drawn. And this immediately took my head to Westbrook might be in danger of getting into charge trouble, which is maybe just, I don't, these guys are good at taking charges. This is a razor thin margin game for the Clippers. Other than maybe, you know, my far-fetched, they take too many charges and we lose take. What's going to happen with Shea? Are we throwing multiple looks at him? He's going to try and look for the switch on Morris. Like, he's going to want to come back to crypto and make another statement. Like,
was it?
I don't want to be on the receiving end of a Shea poem on Instagram after he has a great game against the Clippers.
He is thoughtful. And I still find him. What I love about some of the guys the Clippers have drafted and brought in over the years, even when they leave, you follow them. You like right. them. You enjoy watching them. They're
most
just very likable players for the most part. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, by the way, last six games because what was it, an abdominal injury that he was dealing with?
Something like that, yeah.
So his last six games, and I think he missed four of their last 10 because I'm looking at last 10 splits from him, sure. and it only gives you six games from him, so I'm guessing right. he missed four. When he's been playing, 35 points on 54% shooting, 56% from the outside.
Like, it's real. He had 40 points against Phoenix. They just beat Phoenix. Like, this Thunder team is not fucking around in any way. The tanking thing is out the window. This is now a team who should try and absolutely destroy us these next two games. I don't think that will happen because I think the Clippers are in their version of that mode. But I mean, we're right there in the standings. We just talked about it. We're 2.5 games up on this team. Like, this is. If I would, when I looked at the schedule, and we had Law Murray on, and he talked about how early in the season, a team like the Thunder is hard because they're still playing for stuff, you know. So you're not getting the usual like late season kind of team. Well, we're at the late season now, and the Thunder are firmly in a play-in spot, and I guarantee you they want to try and make the playoffs and make some noise.
And Shea has already hit a game winner against the Clippers. That was in OKC last season. But he isn't afraid of anyone.
No.
He's one of the few guys that I would say, because he got some experience in the bubble with OKC taking on the Rockets in that first round series, right? He got some experience, but he was still, it was
so.
Him and that was the CP3 team with OKC, right?
Right. Yeah, you're right. I don't remember a lot from the bubble because I've blocked that portion of basketball.
As we all should.
Yeah, I mean, he averaged 17, 5, and 4 when he was in the bubble.
But that wasn't lead dog. Alpha,
no.
SGA is the number one option like he is today. While I have fought back against Clippers fans who are like, oh, we shouldn't have traded for him. It's like, guys, they didn't just get Paul George.
And
they got Kawhi Leonard.
Move
please,
on.
Please move
please.
On. But one of the arguments I would make is that let's see him win a first round series. Let's
sure.
see him as the number one option win a first round series.
Yeah.
However, I would not want to be the team that goes up against SGA.
Hell
I just
no.
think
Absolutely
he has
not.
It. He's got some of that stupid clutch gene stuff that
what
Skip
the French
Bates
call
talks about.
I don't know what.
The French Canadian.
Yeah, exactly.
In this case, He's scary. He's very confident. He had that step back game winner earlier this season. I forget who it was against. Just nasty on the near side baseline. There was a camera angle of it where you saw it like in its full speed version of what it would be like guarding him on the court for that. And yeah, it's not that he's the fastest guy out there. It's not that he's the most explosive or the most athletic or the guy dunking on everyone. He has some of that old man game while still having a lively body for a young player. Like, he gets to his spots. He has a refined basketball game that is just tough to stop and is going to age well. And what is he, 23, 24 right now?
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's going to be, yeah, the defensive looks on Chega going to be interesting. Also, Kendrick Williams, I forgot, he's hurt, so he's not going to be taking any charges. So that's good there. One thing that worries me again, it's the third highest scoring team in the league, and they play at the third fastest pace. This team's going to run.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like might be a track meet. The Thunder will make this a track meet if we're trading buckets early, and I'm a little terrified about what happens if we have to get into trade bucket early mode against a team that's kind of streaking, right? You beat the Suns, legitimate contender, obviously didn't have KD, but this is a nervous making matchup.
You could say the Clippers have had a lot of practice in that area recently against high scoring teams in Golden State, against the Sacramento Kings a couple of times, against the Denver Nuggets. But yeah, I don't think it's their preferred state, because even with Russ, I want to say over the last 11 games now, as I reset the filters. So 11 games with Russell Westbrook coming out of the All-Star break, would it surprise you that their pace of play in those 11 games? Well, actually it would surprise me. They are 10th. They are 10th in pace in their last 11 games. I swear just a few games ago, it was still bottom 10. It was like 19th.
It's close. 20th. Yeah. Well, because pace is also, it's kind of a wonky stat, you know.
But that matches the eyeball test.
Yeah, eye test, that is interesting. That I would not have actually.
Well, and Russ has been playing just the last couple of games heavier minutes where he's been over 30 against Orlando, against Portland. And we've talked about it a lot, but Terrence Mann hasn't played more than 18 minutes the last two games. And I thought Russ did a lot of good things against Portland yesterday with just some of his passes where he ended up with 10 assists, he's certainly making passes that even when he doesn't get the assists, they're those hockey assists, or they're getting,
which they need to count. I will die on this. The NBA needs to start doing the hockey assist style thing. I love it. I think it makes a lot of sense.
He makes a pass that just puts you oftentimes in an advantageous position for getting an easier bucket, whether it's directly off of that pass or somebody else than making the extra pass. Like, he had a pass to, and this was a great play from Paul George. And another reason I loved that game from him yesterday was because it was his defense that fueled his offense. His defense turned around his offense. There was that play in the third quarter on the inbounds pass from Russ where he saw Paul George. I don't know if it was a backdoor cut, but he found him underneath the basket. And Paul George missed a gimme, missed the tip-in. Portland got it back, and then Paul George stole it from him and got a dunk.
Yeah.
try again. That was a pass like only Russ is making that pass, and there's a chemistry thing out there between him and Paul George. So as we always say, there's the good and the bad with Russ. You got to know how to use him. I think for the most part, they've done a pretty good job with that. And him playing the entire fourth quarter made more sense to me against Portland because of some of those dimes that he was throwing to guys.
Right.
And finding Ivica Zubac, which has been a really nice development early and often. And Big Zoo getting more involved offensively, please. We need that. And Russ has been a facilitator for him. He's put him in great spots.
Justin Russo has pointed out something that's been great with Russ and Zoo, is that Russ is the best deliverer of the ball for Zoo on the team. Despite being only on the team for a handful of games, he gets Zoo the ball high. He bounces a little harder off the floor, so Zoo's not having to bend down. and he's getting it to him high. It's something to watch for if you've been, you know, a little hard on Zoo's hands before, as some of us have been. But it looked good.
The pass he had in the first half off of Kawhi feed to the interior to Russ on the right block. The defense then all came his way because Portland's terrible there and Yusuf Nurkic can't guard anyone. And they're 27th or something like that in defense. It's got to be so frustrating if you're a Portland Trailblazer fan. And for years, it's the same story. Hey, we're good on offense. Still can't stop anyone. So right. Our ceiling's pretty low. But the defense went his way. The double came. And he immediately found Ivica Zubac for a big throwdown. It was a quick, nice extra pass. And he has been intent on making the extra pass and getting more guys involved than him looking for his offense. For the most part, he's been awesome in that area. You can just see it's a different Russ than what we saw throughout most of this season with the Lakers.
Yes, he feels wanted, which is a very big thing for a player like Russ. All right, so are we splitting this mini series with the Thunder? Are we taking both the games? They give up, you know, they foul the fifth most in the league. Teams against them take a lot of free throw attempts, second most for opponents in the league. Could look for the Clippers to live at the line there. Adam, are the Clippers going 2-0 in this miniseries?
Man, OKC's a top 10 defense since the All-Star break, too.
Yeah, it's insane. So this is going to be a battle. Like, this is
this is good playoff tune-up stuff. I'm going to say yes. They win both. There's a little bit of payback for OKC winning both in OKC early on in the season. And I believe Kawhi didn't play either of those games. That first game we thought he was going to play, and that's when he went out for that extended period of time, missing, 20 of their next 24 games for right knee management before returning, and now he's really only missed back-to-back. So, yes, I'm going to say the Clippers win both, but it's not going to be easy.
No, it's going to be a dogfight.
These are going to be – yeah, playoff-like atmospheres, which is good, and very entertaining basketball games because OKC is really fun to watch.
Yep. All right, who's your surprise performer of the night pick for Tuesday against the Thunder?
I'm going to double down. I'm going to pull Chuck Mockler.
Really?
I'm going back to the well that has dried up in recent games, especially on the defensive end. For anyone who called me and dared to say that Mason Plumlee should be the starter over Ivica Zubac.
Oh, yeah. No, get out of here.
You are a full-blown casual. You do not enjoy the NBA or no ball. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're watching.
You're upset.
Or how much you can possibly have a bias against Ivica Zubac to think that Plumlee's close to the defender that Big Zoo is. Not that Plumlee's bad, but Zoo is that good. And Big Plum has had some bad games on that end recently. And he's not the offensive player either. There is no argument whatsoever that Big Plum, who I love, should be starting over Ivica Zubac. And I'm sure he would tell you the same.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. So
bounce back game for Big Plum.
Big Plum bounce back. I got to go Terrence Mann. Terrence has had a brutal couple of games. 18 minutes against the Magic. 6 points, 16 minutes against the Blazers, 4 points, 4 assists, but just not the same Terrence-ness, if you know what I mean.
I mean, he was a plus six, though, against the Magic. That's the one where I was surprised they stuck with Russ throughout the entire fourth quarter and Terrence Mann didn't come back in. I thought, you need defense, they can't stop him, but can't look back. No, that's a good call. Terrence Mann definitely do. He had his big breakout game in the bubble against OKC.
Yeah.
It was one of the – what they played those eight games, those games to finish out the regular season after the long hiatus of 3 months off. They just gave everybody eight games. And I think maybe the last one was against OKC and Terrence Mann shined and had 22 or something like that.
Right.
I like that call. I think, yeah, Terrence has a big game. They're going to need him too because he brings the energy that Terrence Mann has out there, the youthfulness – OKC has that in spades throughout their entire 12. Lineup.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk guys.
About, we haven't even talked about, like, you look at who's that? Who's the guy for the fucking Thunder who can just shoot? Isaiah Joe. That dude's just shooting the lights out this season from deep. So, like, They got Giddy. They got guys we haven't even talked to. Like, ugh. This is going to be high-level hoops. I'm going to be in the building for the Thursday game, so I'll be there for that. I know Adam will be there. Will, if he were here, I'm sure would be there. Also, let's pick for Will. He's probably picking Marcus Morris for the surprise performer of the night. He's probably going with Marcus Morris. We'll put the poll over on at Clippers Pod.
I think it's a great call.
Yeah. You can vote to see who got it right. Coming up, we are going to be talking about the poll we put out over on Clippers Twitter, talking about playoff stuff, and then giving a shout out to Jamal Crawford. We got ads coming up. They've been loud for some people. If that's been your experience, go ahead and turn it down. We got ads coming up in 3, 2, 1. All right. Welcome back to episode 119 of Clips and Dip. We're talking the first round of the playoffs. The standings have been tight all season. Clippers versus Suns in the first round feels like a real possibility. The Clippers are a half game up on the Mavs, though, with the Mavs owning the tiebreaker due to conference record. So there's a non-zero chance that the Clippers end up, you know, in sixth place with the Mavs going to fifth. We asked Clipper Nation on Twitter, come playoff time, would you rather have the Clippers end up in the 4-5 spot against the Suns or the 6th spot against the Grizzlies? Adam, did you vote in this poll? Did you do your patriotic duty and vote?
I did. Where's my sticker? I forgot to. I must have lost. I voted, and I voted for Memphis, but only if it happens naturally.
So that's the thing. Most people voted for Memphis. It was 58% for Memphis, 41%, 42% for the Suns. You don't want them choosing who they play. You're tired of that route.
If it comes down to the last game of the season, and you have a chance to have a path of least resistance and a better path to the Western Conference Finals and hopefully getting to the NBA Finals, I'm fine with that. But I think right now, you got to win. You got to play good basketball. You still have to build good habits, good chemistry, and play like a cohesive, consistent unit out there.
Right.
If it comes down to the last game against Phoenix, and if you win, you get Phoenix, or if you lose, you get Memphis, and therefore would avoid a second round series against the Denver Nuggets, as well as avoiding Phoenix in the first round. I think you have to consider that. You just do.
You do, and the Clippers do consider those things. A lot of people were kind of asking us, like, good teams don't choose who they play. Like, you can't run from anybody, all that stuff. And while I do genuinely agree with that sentiment, we have witnessed this Clippers team choose their first round opponent before. This isn't a new, like, this isn't a surprise concept. Against Phoenix, that last game of the season, we don't even know who's going to play. If they're our first-round opponent, you think Ty Lue's going to run out playoff sets and rotations and things like that against them for extra scouting? Like, I don't think Ty's that kind of coach.
What if, though, it decides home court? Phoenix has the tiebreaker over the Clippers.
Right.
So it wouldn't be easy to get the four in that 4-5 matchup against them. But it's possible. With the way Phoenix has been playing, they've been reeling a little bit here. You just mentioned OKC beat them. There's a reason they want to have Kevin Durant, or they went out and got him.
Yeah.
They're not good enough to win it without him.
Agreed. Totally agree.
I think that's known by everyone, which talent-wise, I think they should be a contender, but they're not good enough. They just aren't. Maybe the decline of CP3 has shrunk their window with that squad, and the way they lost 2 years ago up 2-0 in the finals, and then the way they lost last season in that game 7, there's too much bad juju there, and you had to do what you could to make a super team, and they are with Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. But I think if it's the last game of the season and you have a chance for home court, it's worth playing for against Phoenix. However, I just think a matchup against the Memphis Grizzlies, and be careful what you wish for, of course. There's no good matchups.
You got Ja coming back in the next couple of games. Like, he's just back.
He could be motivated and inspired, and the team could rally around him.
That's exactly what I'm picturing, too.
Like, if the best matchup is getting Dallas, you have horrible options.
Right, yeah. I don't want that.
But I think I would want that over pretty much anybody else that's realistic. Like, I'd rather see them than Golden State. I'd rather see them than Memphis. I'd rather see them than the Sacramento Kings. Obviously, Denver and Phoenix. I think that's the best option is getting Dallas, which is unlikely to happen.
And some people voted too. Like they were like, it should just be avoid the Denver side of the bracket. Like, don't worry about that. Just avoid the Denver side of the bracket. I don't know if they would think that far ahead. I love the optimism from the team if they're like, we wanted to avoid Denver because I knew we were going to crush in the first round. But I'm not sure they're thinking that far ahead.
It's almost less about we're scared of Denver, and there's reasons to be. They've dominated and owned the Clippers. Coach Lou put it that way. But it's more about get Phoenix and Denver to knock one of them out, to take each other out. That's what's going to help you. Now, if Phoenix doesn't get Kevin Durant back in time, now it's a different conversation.
I'm not as worried.
I think they will, too.
I think they saw a couple games, and then the ankle thing happened. They're like, hey, man, we know what we're doing here with you. It's not hard to integrate Kevin Durant in their offense.
That's exactly what it is. And there was a report earlier today they expect him back. I don't think the report was sooner than later. I forget what it was, but before the playoffs, by the end of the regular season. Clippers, though, and I hate whoever commented about championship teams don't do that. They don't duck anybody. I don't have the definitive proof right now. The only team I can think that worked against when they chose their opponent and they were the best team in the league and they effed around and found out would be the 67-win Dallas Mavericks team from 2007.
Okay.
That actually they chose the Warriors over the Clippers. The Clippers, who were coming off going to the playoffs in 2006, had a chance to make it the next season. It was between them and Golden State, and I want to say Dallas tanked a game at the end of the year to get them Golden State in the first round. They thought it'd be more advantageous, and they lost in six games, I think it was.
Yes, that was not advantageous, shockingly.
It was one of the biggest. I think how many times does an 8 seed beat a 1? I can only think of that. And the Denver Nuggets beating Seattle.
Yeah.
And Mutombo on the floor. And that was a five-game series.
Baron Davis had that insane dunk in that series, too, against the Nuggets. Wasn't that on AK-47?
Oh, he had – that was in the next round against the Jazz.
That's what it was. My bad. Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. But, yes, they probably should have beat the Jazz, too. So I'm just guessing there has been a time where the eventual champion – chose who they were going to play and it worked out just fine. And you don't have to go the machismo route and say champions never do this when it's happened before.
They do it all the time.
It's okay to take the easier path if you can. It works smarter, not
we
harder.
Need rest. Like, and this would be this would be different for me if the Clippers were heading into the playoffs. They're 15-3 in their last 18 games. They're just destroying teams, but we're starting fresh with a new point guard, right? Like we got a new point guard. We have a whole new role players for the most part. Like there's time to figure things out. They're going to have to figure some things out in the playoffs. So might as well do it in an environment that this team feels comfortable in.
And I think if you're not in the play-in, you're getting 5 days off between the end of the regular season and the seven-game series opening round starting.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you can't mess around and fall into the play-in tournament. And that's what makes this also – there's so many unknowns that you can't plan out exactly where you're going to end up and who you want to play. Guys are too close right now, so they're kind of inhibiting any teams from being that strategic with it. I'm just saying if it comes down to the last game of the season and you have that option, you got to consider it.
Yeah. And we're not saying tank the last three games. That would be crazy.
Hell no. Because
then your process gets into an issue. But yeah, you're right. Let us know what you think over at Clippers Pod. We also just threw up the surprise performer of the night poll. I believe, let me see who's in the lead right now. Well, I'm voting for myself. I'm in the lead. Fantastic. What a day. Terrence Payne over Big Plum. To close this episode out, we got to give a happy birthday to Jamal Crawford, one of the sauciest Clippers of all time. He helped usher in the Sixth Man of the Year revolution for the Clippers. I am a big Jamal Crawford fan. He's the godfather of Seattle basketball. He's helping keep, the passion for basketball in Seattle at an all-time high. It's one of the best cities for basketball, despite not having a pro team. He's got the crossover. He helps out with any local kid who's good. He's there for advice and things like that. Adam, what's one of your favorite Jamal Crawford moments? Could be with the Clippers, could be with anybody. They posted a montage today of all the self-oops he's had over the years. It is a lot more than you think it is from a guy like Jamal Crawford.
I think it was early on with New York, and I may have just found the highlight. It was the behind the back crossover move on Kirk Heinrich.
Yeah.
When Jay Crossover was in New York and Heinrich was with the Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
Never seen something like that outside of the And-One mixtape tour on an NBA court. That, and then with the Clippers, he had a big game winner in Utah on a three-pointer that he made. And the between the legs alley-oop to Blake Griffin.
Oh my God.
The Lob City era was one of the greatest passes I've seen.
I'm seeing it in my head. That was the moment where if you didn't understand what Lob City was, it's perfectly didn't Blake not even know that was going to happen? I think they had an interview about it, and he was like, he just threw it up.
And Blake went windmill with it?
Yes. Like, dude, it was a game breaker. It was literally an NBA Street game breaker. Like, it made absolutely no sense. Shout out Jamal Crawford. I wish he would have made an All-Star game, because he talks about how he has special moves that he saved for the All-Star game, that he would only break out for the All-Star game. And I don't believe athletes when they say things like that. I believe Jamal Crawford when he says he has special dribbles he didn't break out. And I'm sure there's some poor bastards at an LA Fitness or something who have to go, oh, is that Jamal Crawford? Oh, that's Jamal Crawford. He's just destroying that.
Ankles were taken. I love his analysis on NBA TV. And when he's been great on TNT, he's such a good ambassador for the game, but he's very articulate and simplifies things for the common fan, but also keeps it high level at the same time.
Yeah.
I think he's special in that area. And I wish he was still playing. I wish there was a team when he had that.
Hey, we don't got to get on that train. That was a couple years ago where people were like, how come Crawford isn't in the league anymore? We talked to a scout, not a scout. We talked to somebody a couple seasons ago in the Chick Hearn, and we were kind of talking about Jamal Crawford, and he was like, man, like, there's just no defense. Like, it's just not even like it's bad. It's just not there. Well, like, he could go and get you 10 maybe, but you're giving up 25.
And he doesn't fit on a good team because of that. And he doesn't fit on a bad team that's tanking because you'd rather just get young guys run out there.
Right. Which is unfortunate. I hope he gets a job. I don't know. I hope he wants to coach or something, because he is a great, just a great teacher. You know, he knows the game so well that he can, like you said, it's high level, makes it accessible for everybody. Shout out Jamal Crawford. The game needs you, Jamal. Thank you for being part of the game. All right. I think that about wraps it up. We're going to have some double dips for the listeners tomorrow and Thursday. Tripod coming out on Friday. We need those iTunes reviews. We really appreciate them. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube at Clippers Podcast on YouTube. This episode will probably be up there. We'll see how my editing skills go with Will out. Adam,
nothing to edit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. We actually nailed this totally. First try run through. No warm-ups. Adam, let's end on some more positivity. What do you have to say to these Clippers fans heading into this mini series against OKC? Other than make sure your blood pressure medicine is nearby.
I want to believe that everything that has happened this season happened for a reason and has put them into this position where they do have games they have to win down the stretch so they avoid the play-in. And it makes them the best version of themselves, and they have this expedited learning process with new players in this condensed 10-game sample size left, as Coach Lou liked those 10-game sample sizes.
Yes, he does.
and they become the Clippers that we thought we were going to get all season long at just the right time. Because nothing's guaranteed if you peak earlier in the season, if you're playing really good ball, even going into the playoffs. Nothing's guaranteed that you're going to be the best team or the hottest team gets in and wins like it is in baseball. It's not like that in the NBA.
Yeah.
But this Clippers team is in a position now where they have to win, like a lot of teams are at the end of the season, just to make sure they're in the postseason and not in the play-in tournament. So I want to believe that. I want to molder with it from X-Files. Want to believe that this is going to work out in their favor in the end. And I mentioned Kawhi Leonard can't stay on this heater forever, and that's a fact. But he's given the rest of the guys enough time to find their own rhythm to where they can pick him up by the time he does start to cool off a little bit. It's going to happen. It is. Either he becomes the greatest player of all time over the next 3 months.
Yes.
Or there is some regression to the mean. I mean, one of those two things is going to happen.
That is true. He is Adam, I want to believe, Osland. He will be with you pre- and post-game for the Clippers tomorrow and Thursday over on AM570. I am Chuck Mockler. Will Updike sends his regards, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow and as a tripod on Friday.